get good news on Eddie Lacy and what are the chances that he might be available?
Eddie Lacy went through the workouts today, so far so good. But you know, we'll see what his availability is Wednesday. He did the full workout today, so that's a good start.
Mike, you got a lot from James in the passing game yesterday, but even his rushing numbers weren't great. How much would it make your guys' offensive lives easier if you could just get your running game back to where you want it to be?
Running football is important. Stopping the run is important. Obviously, I think it's where the game starts on offense and defense. So, you know, we didn't do a good enough job, clearly. So it was a good defensive front. We've analyzed it. I mean, I'm not going to get into players' grades and specifics of that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it comes down to doing the things right mentally and beating the guy over you. So we need to do a better job of that.
Did it surprise you, Mike, some of the things you saw in the combination, blocking combinations that you might have missed? Pass protection, some of the things and the stunts that happened?
Well, our pass protection was not where it needed to be. The quarterback was hit way too many times. Our mental errors were, you know, probably one of the higher, you know, grades of the season in it, from a negative standpoint. So, and that's disappointing in your eighth game. Something that we talked extensively about, you know, as a staff with our players. And we had a chance to review the tape and go through all the mental mistakes and really apply it to Detroit, because at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, winning the next game. And Lord knows we haven't won a game in a while.
Offensively, is there anything you can take from those last 9 minutes to build on as far as, you know, I don't want to say answers, but I'll use the words. I can't think of a better word for it.
I think there's a lot to take from the whole game offensively, and you don't just learn from the good times. But I thought the offense came out in the second half, and, you know, the big play to Randall, you know, got us going. And I would think the second half of football was probably a fun game to watch.
Like, maybe it happens more than we think or see, but Campbell's obviously picked up a couple of your guys, John, on the sidelines. Is that something that – do you have to address that the next day, or do you even bring that up with the team?
No, I didn't even talk about it. I mean, we had enough to talk about as a team, just from a, you know, from a pure football standpoint. Frankly, I have, just as I stated yesterday at the game, I have zero concerns about it. Frankly, a part of me likes it. I think it just shows that they're passionate and they care. So, and hey, no one feels worse than our players today. They had an opportunity to win a football game and against an excellent football team, an undefeated football team. But you know, it's. That's part of it. So, you know, there's nothing to really get bent out of shape about, because, you know, I know what they showed on TV, but I'm also well aware of all that went on after that, too, as far as the conversations and what come of it. So, frankly, we actually played better after it. Maybe we should probably do that in pregame next time.
Did it bother you at all, though, Mike, that it was a, you know.
Excuse me, Tom?
Did it bother you at all that it was a second-year guy and established veteran, one of your leaders, you know, kind of getting up?
I think we're looking into that a little bit too much. I think based on what was said, what happened, and so forth, all the people that were involved and the conversations that have taken place, it was a dead issue by the time the game ended.
Like, how did you think Jake Ryan handled a good deal of playing time yesterday?
Just okay. You know, he had some productivity, but, you know, wasn't as clean as he would like and as we like. So I think he was kind of in line with, you know, a number of our performances.
Mike, are he and Nate going to compete for the right to start at that spot this week?
That's a good question. I mean, that's really the way we do it is Tuesday mornings. We talk about our personnel once we get a, you know, bead from the medical staff on who's going to be available. Then we build our personnel groups, and that's when the conversation starts.
Was it good to see Richard Rodgers kind of produce, especially in the red zone?
Richard did some good things. You know, I think Richard was like a lot of our performances. I mean, there's some things he can do better, but yeah, Richard did some good things yesterday.
Why were the opportunities made more in abundance in the red zone yesterday? Was there any differences as to
opportunities for Richard.
Yeah.
I think, you know, history and really if you watch around the league and you look at the team we played against yesterday, I mean, at the tight end is a big target down there. Anytime you want to score touchdowns, I always felt the quickest way to the end zone was through the middle of the field, and you know, that's where the tight ends play. So, attacking the end zone with a tight end is a primary part of I would pretty much think any good red zone offense.
During the broadcast, Aikman and Joe Buck seemed to indicate that you said you were losing patience with Eddie Lacy. Is that a fair assessment of what?
They said I'm losing patience.
That's what. Yeah. Is that a fair assessment of where you are with there?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why we're going to start talking about broadcast comments.
Well, more, Eddie, I mean, are you losing patience with Eddie?
My job is to get our players ready, and if they're going through a tough spot, to try to make them better. So I'm not losing patience with anybody. I love this football team. This is a great bunch of guys. They don't come much better than Eddie Lacy. I mean, he's an excellent teammate. He's happy-go-lucky. There's things he's not doing very well right now, and he's working to correct them, and it's my job to help him.
What contributed to the tightening of the rotation at outside linebacker with Jaron Elliott not getting a snap from scrimmage yesterday?
I don't follow your thought process. Tightening?
Yeah, well, Jaron had been playing at outside linebacker, and then yesterday he didn't get a snap, so I was just curious what led to maybe reducing that rotation to where he's no longer a part of it at outside linebacker.
Well, Jaron is part of it at the outside linebacker, but I think if you look at our active list and based on the way that the reps were distributed, it was nothing abnormal. You know, he's played primarily on special teams. Some things he needs to do better on special teams, and some things he did very well on special teams. So, personnel groups have a lot to do with that. Had some injuries, you know, in our secondary when we lost Casey. That obviously changed some of our personnel distribution that would probably play favorable to Elliott playing, but that's the way the games go. You know, injuries affect personnel distribution, and that was part of the case.
Mike, is Casey in the concussion protocol, or is he?
Correct, yes.
Mike, did you make any adjustments on the play calling system this past week, and are you going to get more involved in the offense now? Is there a chance
you're going to I'm as involved in the offense and defense and special teams as I can be. I mean, I'll watch more film and keep doing what I'm doing. I mean, our job responsibility, job descriptions have been defined, and that's not going to change.
Mike, speaking of personnel groups, I asked you after the game about going to different personnel groups offensively early. Mm-hmm. When you watched that film, did you see anything that you liked that you might want to do that a little more and mix it in along with your up-tempo, sticking with three wide, one tight end, one back?
I mean, that's something that we'll definitely look at tomorrow. I mean, it's we had our personnel meeting as far as our opponent personnel meeting for Detroit right before I came down here. So I'm not there yet to tell you how I think is the best way to attack their defense based on our personnel. I mean, that's really, you know, watch the game tape tonight, cut ups tomorrow, and then we'll start a game plan process. So, you know, part of that is matchups and things that they've seen and concepts that have been successful against them, concepts that we think will be good against them, and so we'll look at those personnel groups. I mean, we do it every week.
Right. I remember early in your career and you guys were successful doing it. I had a scout say that it made you guys really hard to scout because it was always new personnel group like almost every play, and then you became more up tempo. No huddle. Mm-hmm. Is that where the philosophical shift kind of happened when you really like the idea of going up tempo and you can't do that?
I think when you're switching personnel groups, you want to be as fast as you're on a no tempo. You know, our no huddle, with Aaron Rodgers is really, we're not, we have more options at the line of scrimmage, I think, with the more, the normal no huddle operations. So, just because of his excellence, mental capacity, ever how you want to explain it without getting into specifics. So personnel groupings, as far as getting in and out of the huddle, I mean, there's still situations we still do that. So, I mean, so that component was really never left our offense. So It's just really, what do you tilt more to? And I'm always going to tilt more towards, you know, Aaron Rodgers with the ball because, you know, based on the way we call the offense and the options that are given, I mean, the guy under center has a lot better view than the play caller from the sideline.
Good more, please.
Mike, are you seeing the game the same way Aaron is? When you go back and look at everything during the week, you know, it's your offense, you run it this way the whole time, and for the quarterback's coach. Are you two seeing it the same way? Is that any part of the issue?
I would say we definitely see it the same way. He plays a lot faster than I can. I mean, that's for sure. But, yeah, this is every season's a work in progress, and it's never really about one guy. I mean, you know, the run this offense, it's built around making the quarterback successful. That's the way I learned the offense back in 1989. That won't change based on concept, personnel groupings, or so forth. So running the football, not getting the quarterback hit, those two things right there will give the quarterback a great opportunity to be successful.
Pass rush-wise, she had a bunch of sacks in the first six games and none the last two. I guess just speaking Carolina-wise, was that execution? Was it a way of containing Newton so you couldn't really rush the way you normally would? Or what did you see?
Well, I mean, containing Cam Newton was obviously of high importance. We let him out of there twice in the first series. But other than that, I thought we did a much better job in our rush lane discipline after that point. So. And that's part of it because, you know, when you go with that approach and, you know, there's certain schematic things that you could get into, particularly on how they were setting their protection to our rush, that's part of the, you know, that's part of the chess match.
Mike, you and Aaron always say it starts up front when things are going well offensively. So is that group ticked off enough at how it played that you don't have to challenge them or do you kind of have to – give that five some a little bit of a kick in the butt?
Well, I mean, to give you some real, you know, nuts and bolts insight into our, you know, our locker room and our meeting rooms, I would think all of our players and coaches have the red ass today. I think I'd be accurate.